This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here's the Glow Show.
Welcome back to the Glow Show. Highway Patrol again, and we have lovely Beck back with us.
Oh, hurrah.
How you been?
Oh, I've been great. How have you been, Will?
Good. I've been busy looking for a bicycle seat for my bike.
Well, that's disgusting. And I have good luck.
Thank you.
I'm so glad.
Oh, but I was pleased to know that you didn't lose demerit points.
You only got No, you lose other things, but not demerit points.
And as always, we're joined by Gabby.
I'm just going to be here laughing in the corner.
Oh, no, you're not.
I already am.
You're going to be joining in. You love us.
I do. Beck is one of my favourite co-hosts. Don't tell anyone.
No, I won't.
Don't tell any of the other co-hosts.
We'll keep that a secret.
Don't tell Dani.
And how have you been this month, Beck? Good?
Oh, I've been very well. I've
busy?
Been very well, yes. Always busy, unfortunately. And fortunately, I suppose it keeps me in a job. But yes, not too bad.
Good.
A bit busy, but good. How about yourself, Will? How have you been?
Yeah, look, pretty good. Yeah. We're all battling colds and stress and
change of seasons.
Yeah, which we will get into a little later on today's
indeed.
Show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as always in Highway Patrol, we always love to talk about our cars.
We do. I do like our cars.
I do. I do have a bone to pick with you.
Oh, here we go.
The selection of motor vehicle that the Victorian Police have chosen has rocked my foundations, I must confess.
Well, we'll put a little disclaimer in there and let you know that I had nothing to do with it whatsoever. But we are moving to not just BMWs, they'll be used by the State Highway Patrol, but the Divisional Highway Patrols will be driving, drumroll please.
Drumroll.
Volkswagen.
Wait a sec, I've got my clicker.
Thank you. Volkswagen Passat R's, wagons.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Surprise.
They were grandmother's car. Do you know that?
Look, it's hard for me to give a – I can give a personal opinion and I can not give a personal opinion. So let's go with the latter. The point is we're going to have little zippy Volkswagens to get around in. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure that they've been tested and when put through the ringer as far as their capabilities of what we need them to do. They are pretty zippy.
I believe the Passat R comes out with a 2-litre fuel-injected turbo engine.
Mm.
So one would imagine that would go pretty good.
I would assume that turbo will kick in quite nicely.
Yeah, so around the city it should be quite sprightly.
Yes.
Especially the 2-litre.
Yes, indeed.
When I think of police cars, you know, you think of V8s and 5.5-litre stuff. It's just amazing with technology that we've gone down to.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The size of the engine
doesn't matter
anymore.
No.
I mean, my car's 7.5-litre V8 and it would certainly not win off the mark against a Passat. Not that, of course, I encourage racing.
No.
But there's a lot of technology with our turbos now that allow for that sort of zippy off-the-mark sort of stuff. So I'm sure that they'll be more than appropriate for our use.
Have you had a go of the new vehicle yet, part of the test driving
no.
or anything like that?
No, we've still got quite a few Commodores, the SSs, in fleet. So we actually just had one of our cars replaced recently, only a couple of weeks ago, with another Holden. So we've still got a little bit of a backlog with our stock,
there'll be
a little bit of time before they start feeding them out. So I would expect to see the BMWs out first with the State Highway, and then we've got a couple of Passats out at Transport Branch. So we just have to wait and see.
Obviously, you get in the BMW 530.
Mm.
You get in the D, I think it's
yeah,
the diesel.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And I'm not too sure what size. It'd be around 3 litres. So.
Yeah, I think it's a three point something
yeah.
litre.
And once again, don't be surprised if you've got yourself a 5-litre V8 and you think you can run up against something like that. Good luck.
No, there's a lot of research and a lot of testing and that sort of thing that go into any of the cars that we choose, including ones that aren't used by Highway Patrol but used by Uniform. Like we're now using Hyundais in the Uniform branch.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving on to Ford Rangers
Ford,
for the
right.
divisional vans.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, so. It's just a matter of waiting to see how those go. They're a lot bigger. But there's a lot of stringent testing that go in to make sure that they're up to the standard of requirements that we need them to do.
So to remind people that the divisional vans, they were utilities that were converted into
Right. Yeah, and these ones are the same as well. They're just more like pickup trucks.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're a little higher off the ground.
So we can see into vehicles.
Yes.
No, that's fascinating. Mm. And obviously part of the tender process, we had Volvo competing. Mm-hmm. We had Mercedes-Benz with the AMG E43, which I think was going up head-to-head with the BMW.
Yeah.
That's what I would have picked, being a Merc fan.
I know.
Subaru was in the running as well. And what would have been absolutely fantastic is if the Ford Mustang was in the running. Probably a little impractical.
There was a few issues where it didn't meet the standard and requirement that we needed as far as size.
Yeah.
And there was some ANCAP rating issues as far as Ford America submitting the vehicle for an ANCAP rating. It needs to meet a certain criteria, and it wasn't meeting that criteria for us.
So can you explain ANCAP rating?
So ANCAP rating is an overall, so it's the Australian National testing of how vehicles rate overall in relation to their safety involved in collisions.
Now,
the ANCAP rating is Australian specific.
Yep.
So each vehicle that we sell over here is put through that testing, and it's rated out of 5 stars.
Now, considering also that the Mustang would have a 6-litre engine, obviously that might not meet environmental standards as well. Would that also be a part of it?
I'm not sure if that's applicable to what Victoria Police are after.
Yeah.
You have to remember that the amount of equipment that we carry in the car, traffic cones, big personal protection kits, we have to have a fridge in the back of our car.
I won't ask what you keep in there. Anyway,
and all the other equipment, we need something that's reasonably big. So with the Volkswagen Passat wagon, for example, that station wagon type scenario is what fits us perfectly. So I'm assuming that's why we've gone with that. There's lots of different, perhaps having somebody in from the transport branch one day.
One day we could really get into the nitty-gritty of this.
Yeah, you'd be able
but
to find
it just
that
does
out.
Highlight that it's, I mean, as much as I'm a Mercedes-Benz fan, as much as I'd love to see Mercs across the board, but the reality is at the end of the day that there are specific requirements.
Yeah.
Mine, you couldn't put a traffic cone in the back of my car to save your life, let alone anything else.
Yeah, so there's lots of, it's got computers and we've got all this other stuff that needs to go in there. And BMW versus Mercedes, BMW create police vehicles off the factory floor, which Mercedes don't do.
Oh, so they don't have to be
there's less work that needs to be done on the car once we take delivery of them.
Right, so they're up to speed with that. So that would be a major financial consideration.
Yeah, definitely.
Very, very fascinating.
Lots of boxes to tick.
Love talking about the motor cars. It's really a fascinating thing, and I'm looking forward to going ahead.
I think Gabby's
with you.
Fallen asleep in the corner from boredom.
I was going to snore.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to lining.
That would be rude.
Looking forward to lining up with you at the lights against the Volkswagen Passat, 2 litre against 2 litre. It's going to be quite an interesting.
I'll just get my ticket book out, shall I?
Yes.
Oh, I thought I got a free pass. Now, on that note, and we've obviously got some concerns out on the highway, and this being Highway Patrol, it's a great time to talk about some of the issues and the concerns that are happening today. Now, we've seen on the news quite recently, it's been publicised about the use of mobile phones whilst driving. Now, we have briefly talked about this in Highway Patrol 1. We launched on that issue. It's clearly continuing this problem. You're averaging 82 offences a day across Victoria.
Yeah, I think that's what they worked it out to be, which surprises me. I thought it would be more than that. I feel like I give out more tickets than that a day. But yeah, it's an ongoing issue. And I think the biggest thing is that it's changing. The type of usage that we have is changing. So say 10 years ago, mobile phone usage was actually, holding the phone up to your ear on a phone call.
Yes.
And you could quite clearly see the phone. Now it's more people accessing social media or having video calls. How you think that's okay? I actually pulled a bloke over the other day who disobeyed a sign. And when I walked up to the driver's window, he was watching the opera on YouTube with his phone right in front of his face. With no concern about me walking up to him at all. What are you watching there on the TV? Oh, just the opera.
Thinking there's nothing wrong with it.
That's fine, yeah. Mm. Because driving, boring. Let's watch TV at the same time. Please note sarcasm in that comment.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing thing. I think, accessing social media and that urge that people have to keep checking Facebook notifications or Instagram updates or texting or as soon as they get a notification, they've got to check it straight away, like the world's about to end. It's not going to end, but you're going to have a crash. And so, of course, the number one collision that we have in the city of Melbourne is rear-end collisions.
Yes.
Now, if you're not distracted when you have a rear-end collision, I'm not sure really what's going on. People aren't reading the traffic and they're too busy doing a plethora of other things in the vehicle, which include using the phone. So we're using different techniques now to detect people who are holding the phone, you know, below the windowsills that we may not be able to see in cars. So we might get out on foot and do a foot patrol for 45 minutes and just walk out into traffic. Or, of course, like we've discussed before with my V8 quads, bicycle patrol.
Mm.
Because when I'm on the bicycle, obviously I can look down straight into the car.
Higher visibility, yeah.
So nobody's exempt from being caught, and everybody's done it. And if you say you haven't done it, then you're lying. So it's an ongoing issue, and it's going to continue to cause collisions. It's going to continue to hurt people, and I'm going to continue to book people for it.
Now, that's excellent. Hosting Glow Show and doing Highway Patrol 1, we talked about this very topic.
Mm.
I really personally got something out of Highway Patrol 1, and I'm going to readdress the story because I think it's very, very pertinent. And now my phone, I love my phone.
Yeah.
It goes in the console and the console is shut.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care. I mean, I have it connects with the car Wi-Fi. Obviously, I can answer calls and it's legal and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
But the use of the phone for me is completely finished. And I did ask you the issue, like, if I am stationary and stuck in lights, why can't I use my phone to maybe send a message I'm running late? What is the harm in that? And the story you came back at me at was there was literally weeks before somebody doing that exact thing on his phone in his lap looking down and an elderly gentleman collapsed in front of him.
That's right.
The vehicle behind noticed this gentleman had collapsed in front of him, beeped the horn. This individual on the phone in the car then thought it was time to go, ran over this elderly gentleman. I believe he passed away in the incident. Not sure, but nevertheless, that can happen. And as stupid and as innocuous as it is, and as something even I felt, why?
Mm.
That is the reason why.
Mm.
And I rehearse this story and tell it to everybody quite often when this topic comes up among family and friends.
And we know
friends.
That it's not just at pedestrian crossings or intersections. You can be stuck in congested traffic. You know pedestrians are going to walk between cars. Whether they're legally allowed to or not at the time is irrelevant.
Correct.
The point is they're a pedestrian and you're a car. And how many times have you been stuck in traffic where the vehicles have moved off except for the guy in front of you who takes 10 or 20 seconds and all of a sudden you give them a little toot and they take off straight away? Because you know fully well that they're distracted by something and it's likely their mobile phone. And whether a collision occurs or not is irrelevant. The point is it could occur.
Correct.
You don't know what's happened in front of you because your head is down. And as soon as you hear that honk, you know that you're doing the wrong thing and you've got to move off because you've annoyed everybody else behind you. Meanwhile, it might be a warning honk for some other reason, like somebody's fallen down in front of your car.
Exactly.
So we just need to pay attention. Use that time. I've said it before. Use that time in the car if you're stuck in traffic or congested traffic. We can't control that. Use that time to chill out and meditate and obviously concentrate. Don't
with
meditate
your eyes
with
open.
Your eyes open if you don't
have
mind.
Have a social media break.
But just have a break from the phone. Listen to the radio. Have a sing-along, you know.
Listen to joy.
Listen to joy, exactly. But concentrate on what you're doing. Don't be distracted by having to check your phone every 5 minutes. I need a break from it. You know, like we just get into these habits of, for whatever reason, we can't stand a pregnant pause in our own head. So we have to go jump on our little external brains, otherwise known as the mobile phone, to try and fill that void. And it is hurting people.
Just to remind our listeners, if you are not heeding to our conversation and listening to us, and if you persist to use your telephone, mobile phone, social media whilst you're driving your motor vehicle, or whether you're stuck in traffic or not, what is the fine?
$476 and 4 demerit points.
There you go.
If the result of using your phone ends in somebody being hurt, it will be criminal charges.
So we're talking about culpable driving.
Could be culpable driving, dangerous driving, causing death, all of which carry a term of imprisonment. So if checking your Instagram is worth going to jail for, and
or,
I can tell
or
you
dying.
That, or dying, I can tell you that Big Bessie's looking forward to seeing you in cell block number 3.
Don't tell it to the Bears. They might like that. But anyway.
But if you do use your phone and you're doing things that distract you in your car, it's only sheer luck that you haven't hurt someone, hurt yourself, or been issued an infringement notice.
Yeah.
Or conversely, it's a matter of time before you're going to be issued with an infringement
notice.
So, yeah, look, as I say, let's take a break when you're in your car, on your mobile phone, on your social media. Find a locked, latchable console, chuck it in there, and then when you stop your car and you get to where you're going, that's when you get back to it. And get into that habit and you'll save yourself
$476. Yeah. And, of course, we've all seen those stories of people sending the last text message before they've died on the road.
Yes.
That horrible half a text mm-hmm. or half a phone call. Mm-hmm. No, nobody wants to be the recipient of that. Mm. No. You don't want to cause that to your loved ones either.
So we all get in the car. Most of us get in the car and put our seatbelt on. Mm. That's something you don't even think about. Put mm-hmm. your seatbelt on, put your phone away.
Yeah.
Make that the new thing that we just do automatically.
Yeah. Now, I've also seen in all the media outlets, mm-hmm. porno 5.
Yeah, so the penalties have changed.
Mm.
Yes. The low range drink driving, so that's been between 0.05 and 0.07,
yes.
so 0.069, for a first offence would mm-hmm. be a monetary fine and 10 demerit points. So 10 demerit points can affect a few people's driver's licences, especially if you're on a demerit point bond, obviously you're going to breach your bond there, but it does put you up, you know, maximum of 12 points that you can incur in a 3-year period. So 10 points is putting people on notice that they're about to lose their licence. So that's now changed, that's scrapped. So first offence, low range drink driving, 0.05 to 0.069, is now 3 months off the road.
3 months off. Now, yeah. Is that loss of licence or suspended?
Now, that's a suspension. So your licence is put on the shelf for 3 months.
Okay.
So it's not cancelled altogether, it's just put on the shelf.
All right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. So if your licence is suspended, it's mm-hmm. on the shelf for 3 months, you get it basically back in the mail or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and off you go again.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose your license, mm-hmm. you have to go through a court process.
Yeah. So there's two ways of dealing with drink drivers. One is Vic Roads managed person. So that's somebody that is issued with infringement notice. They lose their license for 3 months. In order to get their suspension period lifted,
mm-hmm.
then any drink driving offence is a cancellation of your licence. So it is chopped up. It's not put on the shelf. And in order to get it back after that cancellation period, you have to complete a road safety driver's awareness course in relation to drink driving. So you have to do a drink driving course.
And that costs roughly?
Oh, I have no idea, to be quite honest.
It is in the thousands, I believe.
It's a pretty expensive course. Then if you're a Vic Roads managed person, so it's a first offence, you haven't gone to court, you have to produce that certificate to Vic Roads and then your licence is reissued. And you may be subject to an interlock condition on your license.
Which is thousands again.
It's a $500 installation. Mm-hmm. It's $150 a month to maintain and a $250 removal. Now, you have to have an interlock for a minimum of 6 months. So if you add that on to everything else, all of a sudden that last little sip of pot of beer has become extremely expensive.
Yes.
So there's been a big debate around whether we lower the drink driving level from 0.05 to 0, and that's been going on for years and years. There are numerous fatal collisions and serious injury collisions involving drivers that have a blood alcohol reading that's under 0.05. And so that was thrown around a little bit as perhaps if we make it no blood alcohol at all, then we might be able to rule that out. I think this is the next step towards that,
mm-hmm.
and that is that if you're going to have a drink, then you do risk losing your license altogether. So to me, there's no point even having a beer.
Mm.
It is such a hard mathematical calculation to work out what your breath alcohol concentration is going to be that it's not worth the risk. Hopefully, it's a deterrent for a couple of people that have those after work beers, one or two beers, and not having that, monetary fine and 10 demerit points available.
Just wondering, when was the last time the laws were changed in relation to the readings of drink driving? I remember it always being as it was until just now.
Mm.
So are you aware? I mean, obviously they've changed them for a reason.
Yeah, there was some changes a few years ago in relation to the immediate cancellation of a person's license that happens on the spot,
okay.
being what's called a Section 51 notice. So Section 51 of the Road Safety Act refers to me being able to physically cancel somebody's license there and then. And that reduced from the reading of 0.15 down to 0.1. Mm-hmm. So if you have a reading of 0.1 or above, you lose your license on the spot. There's no 28 days.
And the police just take it off you.
And I literally take it off you. So that was probably the last change. Obviously, the monetary fines have changed over time, but the suspension period generally goes with the reading. So if you blow 0.08, then your license cancellation is 8 months, and then 0.09 and so on. If it's 0.15 and above, there is no infringement notice. You have to go to court, whether it's your first offence or not.
Right. So obviously, people aren't taking the message. They're not listening. The laws are getting harsher because people are still drink driving.
Well, it's all based on serious injury and fatal collision statistics. And the evidence is there that we're still losing people on our roads due to drugs and alcohol now. Drug driving penalties also gone up from 3 months suspension for a first offence to 6 months. And it's a similar situation. The drug driving is a suspension, not a cancellation. But in order to get your licence back, you have to do a drug driving awareness course. So it's the same sort of thing as we're trying to educate people with these sort of things. I mean, drug driving is probably my number one pet hate. You shouldn't be taking them in the first place. But because they stay in your system so long, people are driving 3 or 4 days after having a bit of a weekend bender and they still have drugs in their system. So it's good to see that we're starting to get a little bit more serious, especially with the drug driving stuff. I mean, personally, I would be sending everybody to court, but that would fill the courtrooms
give
up.
Give it time, and I think...
But I think we need to get we need to start getting really serious about this sort of stuff.
It's interesting to see where the policy is going with 0.05 and if we eventually go to 0.0, it's great. I talk about this with people and just in our general social group, and I said, look, you need to have an on-off switch policy. None of this one drink. I'm just going to go out for dinner. I'm going to have one drink.
Yeah.
I'm going to drive home. We're all built differently. We all metabolism's different.
And day-to-day is different.
Day-to-day
is
different.
Today you could have one and be fine, and the next day you could not. You know, like that's the thing. There's no equation for it.
We need to get into people's heads, and you need to have an on-off policy. If you're going out to have one drink or 100 drinks, you don't drive. If you're going out and having zero drinks, then you can drive.
And, you know, losing your license is probably secondary. You know, that's annoying. But killing someone or hurting someone, that's what you should be worried about. And, you know, sometimes it cannot even be your fault. You might have a collision with somebody else. You're still going to get breath tested.
Yes.
So even if the collision's not your fault, you're still getting breath tested.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, losing your license is a pretty harsh penalty for low range drink driving. But at the end of the day, that shouldn't be paramount. The first reason. The first reason should be you don't want to hurt anybody, especially if you've got other people in the car as well. You've got to take responsibility for those people.
Now, one of the other concerns you've raised lately is it's starting to get a bit colder out there at the moment.
It is getting colder. We're heading winter.
We're seeing a little bit
like dressing in layers.
We're seeing problems because of the weather.
Oh, I think people are just forgetting that they got to drive to the conditions a little bit. We had some pretty severe rain in the last couple of weeks. And first of all, driving through floodwaters, probably the most stupidest thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You engines do so much well damage to your car.
Yeah.
You really do. The water gets sucked in and you know, insurance companies may struggle to pay you out if you've intentionally driven through floodwaters. So
do you forget cars float.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Do you actually see a spike in accidents during heavy rain times?
We do, yeah. We do. And that's because people aren't adjusting their driving to the weather conditions. You need to increase the distance between you and the car in front of you. You need to be aware.
And decrease your speed.
And decrease your speed. Drive to the conditions. Tram tracks are slippery.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, on the way here today to the studio, I saw a young P-plater doing a U-turn who just gave it a little bit. He wasn't doing it intentionally, but gave it a little bit too much throttle as he was turning, and his back wheel spun a little bit, gave himself a bit of a fright. And that's just not driving to the conditions. Tram tracks are slippery. Roads are slippery. Pedestrians are slow. Bicyclists are annoyed because they're riding in the wet. And everybody's a little bit behind schedule. So.
And bicyclists and tram tracks are also...
Oh, what a wonderful combination they are.
Especially the ones without seats.
And the ones without seats, I know.
If you're wondering why we're talking about people riding a bike without a seat, you're going to have to listen to one of the other Highway Patrol podcast episodes. They're all very entertaining and educational.
When have you last saw... Oh, anyway,
I saw one 2 weeks ago. There was a young fellow, he would have been about 20, and he was riding across Royal Parade up near Princess Park, and there was no seat on his bicycle.
Were you working?
And I was on my way to work. Otherwise, I would have taken a photo. I couldn't believe it. I think it was the first time I've ever seen one. And I said, but this is why that law was created. It was for you, bucko. He looks
well, what other crazy stuff? Now we're in crazy law moment.
Oh, it's always crazy law. Well, I thought today we might talk about animals in cars.
Oh.
Right? So there was a law created not very long ago.
About drunken mates from the footy club or nothing like that.
No. But we spoke about this last time. You know, these silly, what appear to be silly laws are created for a reason, and that's because something's happened that we need to create a law. So this particular law refers to driving with your dog on your lap.
Yes.
Now...
I would like to know where that one came from.
Okay, so you buy a little puppy, and we teach our little puppies to sit and to drop and to beg and to don't do this and don't do that. We need to teach our dogs specifically, because if you've got a cat in a car, you've got other issues I don't need to worry about. You need to teach your dog how to behave in a car. So being on your lap, you know, some dogs get that, they get anxious if you're not touching them or if they're not around you all the time and they don't want to be in the back. So these people drive along with the dog on their lap. Couple of things, extremely distracting. You've got a dog racing around on your lap. Secondly, if you have a collision and the airbag goes off.
Don't want to think about that.
You're going to have a hot dog on your chest. I can say, you're going to have it like
unpleasant.
Will's face is great. So if we care about our pets, there's loads of pet restraints out there. If you're involved in a collision, you would always make sure your child or your partner or whoever you're carrying in the car, it's your responsibility to make sure their seatbelt's on. Now, the law doesn't say you have to have your pets restrained. However, if you're involved in a collision, they are subject to just as much trauma inside the vehicle as any other person, if not more, because they're not able to brace themselves and predict a collision that's about to occur. So you end up with these poor animals getting rattled around like a marble in a jar and getting themselves injured. So if you have a puppy, please teach it to cope with it, having a little seatbelt on. You can, there's little harnesses that attach to the seatbelt. You can, I've seen those ones on their back.
Yeah, and they're just sitting there with their little legs.
Yeah, I know. How long can they sit there like that for? I wonder. Anyway, teach your dog to wear those little harnesses and attach it to the seatbelt properly, and that is going to save their life, obviously. Nobody wants to see their pet get injured. But more than anything, make sure you don't drive with, I know it sounds so like common sense, but we book them quite often, especially tiny little dogs, and they just have their paws up on the window and you're all cute and everything, but you can't get in a ticket. I'm so sorry, but ticket.
And how much is it?
Click it or ticket. It's about $300.
There you go.
Yeah. So
cheaper than a harness, probably. More expensive than a harness. Sorry. Yeah, got it the wrong way around.
I came across this stupid woman and she decorated her steering wheel.
Oh, that's nice.
With rocks.
Oh, and I said to her, you mean I said, rock grips?
No, little pebbles, rocks, and she'd done a nice little pattern.
Wow.
And she was proud of it. And okay. I said, you've just made yourself a claymore mine. Because the airbag goes off, boom. And she just looked at me stupidly. She was stupid, And it's amazing. Once again, it's amazing what people do.
I need to invent a new infringement notice for that one.
Yeah, well, there's some defect issues there that we could probably deal with.
That would be a roadworthiness issue.
Yeah.
For sure.
Look, if you're going to alter anything about the steering, you need to keep in mind about the airbag and the airbag being deployed. And that's the same with your seating position in the car as well. You know, you see a lot of people that are a little bit nervous behind the wheel and they pull their seat up as far as they go. You have to remember that's an explosive device inside the steering wheel. It's going to cause you some major trauma if you're not seated properly.
What if you have short legs?
Well, there's means and ways of doing adjusting the steering. Are you talking about short arms or short legs?
Short legs.
Okay. Well,
then you have to sit nice and close because you can't reach the. Yeah, that's not me.
Yeah, I bet there's vehicles that have adjustable pedals that will bring the pedals out to you.
I'm not saying I have the short legs. I have normal size legs.
Okay. Now, while we are talking about crazy laws, I have found one.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you know it is against the law to wear hot pink pants 12 p.m. onwards on a Sunday?
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see what act that's in. I'm assuming it's the Vagrancy Act, which doesn't exist anymore.
Mind you, if you caught me in hot pink pants on any day of the week, I reckon you'd find me.
See how we talk about these laws coming into practice for a particular reason. I'd like to know what it was that instigated that change in law. Was it you, Will? Kicking around on a Sunday?
I'm just going to have to be careful which day now I wear my hot pink pants.
Yeah.
Any day's fine, just not Sunday.
Yeah.
Do you girls wear your hot pink pants at all?
Not on a Sunday.
Not on a Sunday. So you know the law.
Yeah, I'd have to do a deep dig in my wardrobe to find hot pink pants, I think. But no.
As long as you don't lose any demerit points. That's
amazing. There's no demerit points there. Might be straight to court for that offence.
Well, we better think about wrapping this up.
And it's always a shame.
I know. And you'll be back for number 5?
Always.
Excellent.
On time.
Gabby will be back for number 5?
Always.
And how do we listen to our podcast, Gabby?
Get onto the Joy website and listen to the Glow Show podcast, or get onto your app on whatever phone you have and type in the Glow Show.
And you will be able to download any of the many.
We've got nearly 50 of them now.
We're going to have a 50th special, I think.
We will.
I'll wear hot pink pants for that one.
It won't be Sunday.
It will not be a Sunday.
Well, good. I want to see you here in hot pink pants on the next one.
Oh, goodness.
Be an interesting photo, that one, with the firearm on the belt.
Well, thank you for listening. And yes, don't forget to download all the other Glow shows if you haven't come across them before. And thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week with a new edition.
See you next time.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.